The Wife of Bath's prologue. Experience, though no written authority was in this world, is right enough for me to speak of woe that is in marriage. Servants, from the time that I was 12 years of age, thanks be to God that is eternal on life, that I have had 5 husbands at the church door, if so, often had been wedded, and all were worthy men in their degree. I was told, certainly, it is not long since Christ never went once on his way to the wedding in Cana of Galilee, that by the example taught me that I should be wedded only once. Here also, a sharp word for the purpose beside a well, that Jesus, God and man, spoke in reprieve of the Samaritan. How have you had 5 husbands? Said he. And that man that now has you, is that your husband? Thus, said he, certainly. What he meant by that I cannot say, but I ask why the 5th man was not husband to the Samaritan. How many might she have in marriage? Yet I have never heard talk in my age of this number's definition. Men may speculate and interpret up and down, but well I know, explicitly, without lie, God asked for us to go forth and multiply, and I can well understand that gentle text. Also, well I know, he said my husband should leave father and mother and take to me, but he made no mentions of numbers, bigamy, or marriage 8 times. Why then do men speak ill of it? Here, the wise King Solomon, I am sure he had more than 1 wife. As to God, it seems legitimate to me to be refreshed, half so often as he. What a gift from God he had, all his wives. No man had such that is alive today. God knows this, noble king, who in my opinion the first night had many a merry bout with each of them, so that he was happy with his life. Blessed be to God that I have wedded 5, of which I have picked out the best, both of their testicles and of their chest. Divers schools make perfect clerks, and diverse practice in many different works makes the workman perfect. Certainly, I have studied 5 husbands, and welcome the 6th whenever he shall come. For truth, I will not keep yourself chaste in all, for when my husband is gone for this world, some Christian man will marry me again. For then the apostles say I am free to wed, in God's name, wherever I like. He says to be wedded is not a sin. Better to be wedded than to burn. What care is it to me, the folk say villainy of the wicked Lamech and his bigamy? I know well that Abraham was a holy man, and Jacob as well, if ever I know, and each of them had more than 2 wives, and so did many other holy men. Where can you say, in any age, that God defended marriage by express word? I pray you, tell me. Or where he commanded virginity. I know as well as you do, it is no doubt the apostle when he speaks of maidenhood. He said he had no precepts of it. Men may counsel a woman to become single, but counseling a woman is no commandment. God put it in our own judgment. For God had commanded maidenhood, then he damned wedding in doing so. If there is no seed sown, from what would virginity grow? Paul does not command, at least, a thing of which his master gave no command. The prize is set up for virginity. Let him catch it who can, who runs best. But this word is not understood as being about every person, but that God is pleased with his might. I know well the apostle was a virgin, but nonetheless he wrote and said he wishes that every person were like him. It is all no more than counseling to embrace virginity, and to have been a wife he gave me faith as a concession. So it is no disgrace to wed me if my spouse dies, without the objection of bigamy. Although it would be a good thing to touch no woman. He means in bed or couch, for it is perilous to assemble both fire and flax. You know the metaphor this may resemble. This is the long and short of it. He held virginity more perfect than marriage in frailty. Frailty, called I, if he and she were to lead their whole lives in chastity. I grant it well. I have no envy, though maidenhead takes precedence over bigamy.
They like to clean in body and spirit. If my estate, I will make no boast, for well you know that a lord in his household doesn't have every vessel made of gold. Some are made of wood in their lord's service. God called folk to him in different ways, some this, some that, as he likes to determine. Virginity is a great perfection, and continence also with devotion. But Christ, who is a perfect source, did not command every person should go and sell all that he has and give it to the poor, in turn follow him in his footsteps. He spoke to them that would live perfectly, and lords, by your faith, that is not me. I will bestow the prime of my life to the acts and fruits of marriage. Tell me, to what purpose were generations created and fashioned so that by a perfectly wise maker may not be used? Let anyone who wants to add to the argument and say all sides that they were made for the discharge of urine. And both small things were also created to know a female from a male, and for no other cause. You say so? The experience knows well it is not so. So that the clerks are not angry with me, I will say this, that they were made for both. That is to say, for function and for procreation, so that we will not displease God. Why should men otherwise set in their books that man should pay his wife her debt? Now how should he make his payment if he uses his blessed tool? They were put upon a creature to purge urine and also for procreation. But I say that not every person is obliged who has such equipment as I told you, and to go use them for procreation. Then men should not care about chastity. Christ was a virgin, created as a man, and many a saint since the beginning of time, and they lived ever in perfect chastity. I will not envy virginity. Let them be the bread of refined wheat seed, and let us wives be called barley bread. And yet with barley bread, Maker tells us, our Lord Jesus refreshed many a man. In such a state as God calls us, I will persevere. I am not hard to please. In wifehood, I will use my instrument as generously as my Maker had it sent. If I am barbaric, God give me sorrow. My husband shall have it both evening and morning when he wants to come forth and pay his debt. I will have a husband. I will not delay what shall be both my debtor and my slave, and have his tribulation beside upon his flesh while I am his wife. I have the power during all my life over his proper body, and not he. Right as the apostle told it to me, and told our husbands to love us well. This entire sentence is pleasing to me, every bit.
The pardoner leapt up at once. Now, dame, he said, by God and St. John, you are a noble preacher in this case. I was about to be wed to a wife, alas. What? Should I pay for it on my flesh so dear? Yet I would rather wed no wife this year.
Abide, she said, my tale has not begun. No, you shall drink of another before I go, one that will taste worse than ale. And when I have told you my tale of tribulation and marriage, of which I have been an expert in all my life, this is to say that I myself have been the whip, then you may choose where you will sip of the barrel that I will tap. Be wary of it before you are too near to it. I will share more than examples. Ho that will not take warning from other men shall be corrected by other men. These same words are written by Ptolemy, read in Agamente, and take it there.
Dame, I would pray you, if it were your will, said the pardoner. As you begin to tell your tale, hold back for no man and teach us young men of your practice.
Gladly, she said, I hope it is as you like it. But yet I ask all the company, if I speak according to my whim, you will not take grief with what I say, for my intent is nothing but to have fun. Now, sir, I will tell you my tale. As I drink more wine or ale, I should say the truth. Of the husbands that I've had, three of them were good and two bad. Three men were good, rich and old. With great labor, they could fulfill their obligation. You know what I mean by this, my God. And help me, God, I laugh when I think of how I made them work at night, and by my faith set no store by it. They had given me their land and their treasure. I needed no longer do my diligence to win their love and show them respect.
They love me so well by God above that I set no store by their love. A wise woman will work hard, even when single, to get herself love where she has none. But since I had them whole in my hand, and since they had given me all their land, why should I be concerned about pleasing them, since it was for my profit and ease? I set them to work by my faith, and many nights they sang, "Woe is me!" The bacon was not fetched for them. I believe that some men in Essex at Dunmow ruled them so well with my law that each of them was very blissful and eager to bring me fair things. Now they were very glad when I spoke to them nicely, for God knows I scolded them mercilessly. Now know that I behave characteristically. You wise wives that can understand, you should speak and make false accusations against them. For no man can swear and lie half as boldly as a woman can. I say this with no respect to wives that have been wise, except where they are misguided. If a wise wife knows that it is to her advantage, she will maintain that a man is mad. She should make witness of her covenants, as here I say, "The old daughter is not behaving well. Why is my neighbor's wife so finely dressed? She is honored whenever she wants, but I sit at home and have no fine clothes. What happens at my neighbor's house? Is she so fair? Are they so in love? Why do you whisper with our maids, Benedicte? Sir, you are an old lecher. Let your tricks be. If I have an intimate friend, without guilt you nag like a fiend. If we walk or play in the house, you come home drunk as a mouse. You preach on your bench, with bad luck to you. You say it to me. It is a great calamity to wed a poor woman for cost. And if she is right of high birth, you say that is a torment, to dipper her pride and her anger. If she is fair, though very poor born, you say that every lecher will have her. She cannot abide in chastity, who is assailed upon every side. You say that some desire us for our riches, some our shape, some for our fairness, and some because she can either sing or dance, and some for gentleness and diligence, and some for their slender hands and arms. Thus goes the devil by your account. You say men cannot keep a castle well, and it may so long be assailed all about it. If she is foul, you say she covets every man that she may see, for like a spaniel she will leap on him all about till she finds another man. As the gray goose goes to the lake, she will be without a mate. You say that is a hard thing for her to control, a thing that no man with thanks has held. You say, rogue, when you go to bed, that no wise man needed to wed, that no man has strived to get to heaven with wild thunder and fiery lightning. Their withered necks will be broken. You say that leaking houses, smoke, and scolding wives made man flee out of his own house. Bless me, what makes her scold an old man? You say we wives hide our vices until we are tied down in marriage. Then we will show them. That may be the proverb of a rascal. You say that oxen, donkeys, horses, and hounds have been used at different times. Basins and bowls before men used them. Spoons and stools at such household goods. And so be pots and clothes and finery. But people do not try out wives, you old doddered rascal. And then you say, we'll show our vices. You also say that it displeases me. But you praise my beauty. And unless you gaze intently on my face and call me fair dame in every place, unless you have a feast on the same day that I was born and make me feel fresh and happy, and unless you honor my nurse and to my chambermaid within my room and my father's people and his allies, thus you say, old barrel full of dregs. And yet our apprentice Jenkin, for his curly hair that shines like gold so fine, and because he escorts me both up and down. Yet you have caught a false suspicion. I do not want him, though you are dead tomorrow. But tell me this, why do you hide with bad luck the keys of your chest away from me? Is my good not as good as yours? By God, what do you expect to make an idiot of our dame? Now, by the Lord that is called Saint James, you should not both, though you are furious, be master of my body and my goods. You must
forego one, in spite of yourself. Why do you need to ask or spy? I trust that you would like to lock me in a safe. You should say, wife, go where you like. Go and enjoy the entertainment. I will not believe any tales they tell about you. I know you are a true wife, Dame Alice. We do not like men who are concerned about where we go. We want to be free. Of all men, blessed may he be, the wise astrologer, Lord Ptolemy, who says this proverb in his Almagest. Off all men, he whose wisdom is the highest is the one who does not care who in the world he has control over. By his proverb, you should understand that if you have enough, why would you take note or care of how merrily other folks fare? For certainty, old dotard fool, by your leave, you should have forfeit sex right at evening. He is too great a fool that would refuse a man to light a candle at his lantern. He never shall have less light. By God, if you have enough, you do not need to complain. You say also, if you make yourselves happy with clothing and finery, that it is the danger of our chastity. Yet, with bad luck to you, you must defend your argument, and these wise words in the apostle's name. In clothing, made with chastity and shame, you women should adorn yourselves, he says, and not with tressed hair and happy precious stones such as pearls or gold or fine clothes. In accordance with the text, nor after, according to your argument, I will not do so much as a gnat. You say this like I was a cat. For who would singe a cat's skin? Then the cat would dwell in his den. If a cat's skin was nice and sleek, she would not dwell in her home more than half the day, but go forth before dawn to show her skin and yowl like a cat in heat. This is to say that if I be happy, sir scoundrel, that I will not run out to show you my poor clothes. Sir, old fool, what help is it to spy? Though you pray to Argus with his 100 eyes to be his bodyguard as best he can, in faith, he shall not keep me except as I please. Yet I could deceive him so I can prosper. You also said that there are 3 things, the things that trouble all this earth, and no one can endure the 4th. Oh, scoundrels, Jesus shorten your life. Yet you preach and say a hateful wife is called one of these misfortunes. Are there no other resemblances that you can use in your sayings without a poor wife being one of them? You compare a woman's love to hell, a barren land where no water dwells. You compare it to a wildfire. The more it burns, the more it has desire to consume everything that will be burned. You say, just as a worm shreds a tree, so a wife destroys her husband, they who are bound to their wives. Lords, right here, as you have understood, I swore his name to my only husband's hand, that they say in their drunkenness that all was false. But I took witness of Jenkin, and on my niece also. O Lord, the pain I gave them and the woe, they were guiltless by God's sweet pain, for like a horse I could bite and whinny. I could complain, and yet it was in the wrong, or else oftentimes I would have been ruined. For whoever comes first to the mill first grinds. I complained first, so our war was ended. They were glad to excuse themselves quickly of things they were never guilty of in their lives. Of wenches I would falsely accuse them, for when they were sick, they could not stand. Yet I tickled his heart, for he believed I had a great affection for him. I swore that all my walking out by night was to spy out the wenches with whom he delights, under the pretense that I had many mirth, for such is given to us in our birth, deceit, weeping, and spinning. God has given to women kindly while they may live, and this one I boast. At the end, I had better in every degree, by trickery or force, or something similar in manner, and continue grumbling or grouching. Namely, in bed, they had misfortune. There I would scold them and do them no pleasure. I would no longer abide if I felt his arm over my side. until he had bought me off. Then I would allow him to do his foolishness. And there, every tale I tell this man, anyone can profit, for all is for sale. One can lure no hawks with an empty hand, for I will endure his lust for profit. He gives me a fiend appetite, but I never delight in old meat. That made me so I would quarrel with them, for though they sat beside the Pope, I would not spare them at their own table, for, by my truth, I paid them word for word. So help me, true God, omnipotent. Through right now, I should make my testament. I do not owe them a word that has not been repaid. I bought it, so about my cleverness, that they must give it up, as for the best, or else we had never been in rest. For although he looked as furious as a lion, he would fall short of his goal. Then I'd say, my dear, take note. How meekly you look, Willie, our sheep. Come near, my spouse, let me kiss your cheek. You should be patient and meek and have a mild disposition. As you preach of Job's patience, suffer always, since you preach it so well. But if you do, certainly we shall teach you that it is fair to have a wife in peace. One of us two must bow, no doubt, because a man is more reasonable than a woman. You must bear to suffer. What ails you to grumble and groan? Is it because you want my vagina for yourself? Why, take it all. I have every bit of it. By St. Peter, damn you if you don't enjoy it. For if I would sell thigamy, I could walk fresh as a rose. But I would keep it for your own pleasure. You are to blame, by God. I'm telling you the truth. Such words we were occupied with. Now I will speak of my fourth husband. My fourth husband was a reveler. This is to say, he had a mistress. And I was young and full of high spirits, stubborn and strong, and as lively as a magpie. I could dance to a small harp and sing as a nightingale when I drank sweet wine. Metilius, the foul layman, the swine, had killed his wife with a staff because she drank wine. Though I had been his wife, he should not have frightened me away from drinking. And after wine, on Venus, must I think, for surely as cold as gave away to hell, the glutinous mouth must have a lecherous tail. A woman can find no defense. This lechers know from experience. But Lord Christ, when I remember my youth and my liveliness, it tickles me to the bottom of my heart. And to this day, it does my heart good to know I have had the world in my time. But age, alas, that poison has taken my beauty and my vigor. Let go, farewell. But devil, go with you. The flower is gone, there is no more to tell. I must sell the bran as best I can. But yet, I would find happiness. Now I will tell you of my fourth husband. I say, I resented that he had another mistress. But he was paid back by God and St. Judoc. I made him a cross of the same wood. Not of my body and in no foul manner. But certainly I acted in such a friendly way to people that I made him fry in the grease of his own anger and jealous behavior. By God on earth, I was his purgatory, for which I hope his soul be in glory. For God knows he sat very often and complained, and his shoe fit him wrong. There was no person save God, but he that knew all the painful ways I twisted him. He died when I came from Jerusalem and was buried under the rod beam. His tomb was not as elaborate as Darius' sepulchre, which the Apelles hammered out subtly. It is only a waste to give him an expensive tomb. Let him fare well. God give his soul rest. He is now in his grave and in his coffin. Now my fifth husband, I will tell, God let his soul never come in hell. And yet to me he was the most wicked. I felt that my own ribs row by row, and always will until my dying day. But in our bed, he was so fresh and gay, and therewithal so well he could make me cajole. When that he would have my thing gummy, and although he had beaten my every bone, he could win again, my love immediately. It is true I loved him best, for that his love was dangerous to me. We women have, that I won't lie, in this matter a strange fantasy.
Whatever thing we may not easily have, thereafter we would cry all day and crave. Forbid us something we desire, urge us to fast, and then we will flee. We display our wares reluctantly. A great crowd at the market will make expensive goods, and cheapen the price. And to cheapen the price is to belittle the value. Every wise woman knows this. My fourth husband, God bless his soul, I took for love and not for riches. He at one time was a clerk of Oxford and had left school and lodged at home with my companion dwelling in our town. God have her soul. Her name was Allison. She knew my heart and also my secrets better than our parish priest, as I may prosper. To her I revealed all of my secrets, for my husband had pissed on a wall or done a thing that should have cost him his life. To her and to another worthy wife and to my niece, which I loved well, I would have told his secrets every day, and I did very often. God knows it. That made his face very red and hot with true shame, and he blamed himself, for he had told me so great a secret. And so it happened at once at Lent. Many times went I to see my companion, because I loved to be gay, and to walk in March, April, and May, from house to hear different tales, that Jenkin, the clerk, and my companion, Dame Allison, and I went into the fields. My husband was in London during that Lent. I had the opportunity to amuse myself and to see and to be seen by pleasure-loving people. How did I know where my good luck was destined to be or in what place? Therefore, I made visits to vigils and processions and preachings also, and to these pilgrims, to miracle plays and marriages, I wore my beautiful scarlet gowns. These worms, nor these moths, nor these insects, may I be damned otherwise, never gnawed at me. And do you know why? Because they were well used. Now I will tell you of what happened to me. We walked in the field until truly we had such a flirtation going, this clerk and I, that by my farsightedness I spoke to him and told him that if I was a widow, he should wed me. For certainly, I said not to boast, I was never yet without provision of marriage, nor other things too. I have a mouse's heart, not worth a leak, with one hole of which to escape. And if that fails, everything is over. I maintained that he had enchanted me. My mother taught me that trick. And also I dreamed of him all night. He would have slain me as I laid on my back, and my bed was full of real blood. But yet I hope you shall do me good, for blood symbolizes gold, as I was taught. And all this was false. I didn't dream of any of it at all. But I followed my mother's teaching as well of other things also. But now, sir, let me see. What shall I say? Aha! By God, I have made my tale again. When that fourth husband was on the bier, I wept continually and put on a sorrowful expression, as wives must, for it is custom, and my headdress covered my vision. But considering that I was provided with a spouse, I wept but a little, and that I warrant. My husband was carried to the church next morning by neighbors that mourned for him, and Jenkin, our clerk, was one of them. So help me God, when I saw him go after the burial, I thought he had a pair of legs and feet so shapely and fair that I gave my whole heart into his possession. He was, by truth, a 20-year-old, and I was 40. If I shall speak truth, but yet I have always had youthful desires. Gap-toothed was I, and that suited me well. I had the print of St. Venus's seal. So help me God, I was a lively one, and fair, and rich, and young, and in good spirits. And truly, as my husband told me, I had the best vagina there may be. For certainly I am a child of Venus in feeling, and my heart is dominated by Mars. Venus gave me my appetite for pleasure, my lavishness, and Mars gave me my rebellion, boldness. My zodiac sign was Taurus and Mars therein. Alas, that love was ever a sin. I followed my natural disposition by virtue of my constellation. It made me so I could not withdraw my chamber of Venus from a good fellow. Yet I have Mars's mark upon my face, and also in another secret place. For God so wisely is my salvation. I never loved in moderation, but always followed my appetite. He could have been short, long, dark, or white-haired,
It didn't matter, as long as he liked me, how poor he was, or his social status. What should I say? But at the month's end, this gallant clerk, Jenkin, who was so courteous, had wed me with great festivity, and to him I gave all the land and property that was ever given me before. But afterwards I repented bitterly. He would not tolerate any of my pleasures. By God, he hit me once on the ear because I tore a page out of his book. This strike left me deaf. Stubborn I was, as is a lioness, and I talked a lot, and we would walk, as I had done before, from house to house, although he had sworn the contrary, for which oftentimes he would preach and tell me about old Roman stories, how Simplicius Gallus left his wife and forsook her for the rest of his life, all because he saw her with her head uncovered, looking out the window upon a day. And another Roman, he told me my name, for his wife was at a midsummer festival without his knowledge. He forsook her also. And then would he search through his Bible for the same proverb of Ecclesiastes, where he commanded and forbade fast. Man shall not suffer his wife to go gad about. Then he would say without a doubt, whoever builds house of willows and spurs his blind horse over the fallow land is worthy to be hanged on the gallows. But all for naught. I set not a hawthorn berry of his proverbs, and of his old savings I would not let him correct me. I hate him who tells me my vices, and so do more of us, God knows, of us than I. This made him extremely angry with me. I would not put up with him under any circumstances. Now I will tell you the truth by St. Damas. When I ripped a page from his book, which caused him to hit me so hard, I became deaf. He had a book that gladly, night and day, he would always read for enjoyment. He called it Valery and Theophrast, a book at which he always laughed wholeheartedly. And also, there was sometimes a clerk at Rome, a cardinal, one Saint Jerome, made a book against Jovinian, in which book also there was a Tertullian, Chrysippus, Trotula, and Helios, that was the abyss not far from Paris, and also the parables of Solomon, Ovid's art, and many more. And all these were bound in one volume, and every night and day was his custom, when he had leisure time and vacation from otherworldly duties, to read this book of the wicked wives. He knew more legends and lives of the wicked wives than of good wives in the Bible. Trust me, it is impossible that any clerk would speak good of wives, except holy saints' lives, or any other woman at all. Who painted the lion? Tell me, who? By God, if woman has written stories, as clerks had within their oratories, they would have written more wickedly of men than all that Adam's gender may make amends for. The children of Mercury and Venus have been opposed to this behavior. Mercury loved wisdom and science. Venus loved debauchery and expenditure. And as a result, their diverse deposition, each one loses influence in the sign of the zodiac where the other gains the most. And thus, God knows, Mercury is helpless in Pisces, where Venus is in the position of greatest influence. And Venus falls where Mercury is raised. Therefore, no woman of a clerk is praised. The clerk, when he is old and can't have sex worthy of his old shoe, then sits down and writes in his madness that women cannot keep their marriage. But back to the story. Why, I told you all that I was beaten because of a book. By God, one night, Jenkin, our master of the house, read from his book as he sat by the fire of Eve first, and of her wickedness. All of mankind was brought to misery, for which Jesus Christ himself was slain, who brought us with his heart blood again. Look here, explicitly, in women you may find the woman was the loss of mankind. Then he read to me how Samson lost his hair. Sleeping, his mistress cut it with her shears, and through treason he lost both of his eyes. Then he read it to me, that if I shall not lie, of Hercules and his Dianara that caused him to set himself on fire. He forgot nothing of the sorrow and woe Socrates had two wives. How Xanthippe pissed on his head. The poor man sat still as if he were dead. He wiped his head. No more does he. But when the thunder ceases comes the rain. Of Thasiphae, that was the queen of Crete. For her maliciousness, he thought the tale was sweet. Fie, speak no more. It is a grotesque thing of her horrible lust and her pleasure. Of Clytemnestra, for her lechery that falsely caused her husband to die. He read it with great devotion. He told me also, when Amorthiax at Thebes lost his life, Eriphilum, for an ounce of gold, secretly told the Greeks where her husband was hiding, for which he had misfortune at Thebes. Of Leva, he told me, and of Lucy, they both made their husbands die, one for love and another for hate. Livia poisoned her husband one evening, for that she was his foe. Lucy, amorous, loved her husband so much that because he should always think about her, she gave him a kind of love drink, that he was dead by the morning. And thus, continually, husbands come to grief. Then he told me how one Latumius complained to his fellow Arius that in his garden grew a tree on which his three wives hanged themselves for their recantant spirit. Oh, dear brother, said this Arius, give me a plant of this blessed tree, and I will have it planted in my garden. He read of wives from more recent times, that some slayed their husbands in bed, and let her lover pleasure her all night while the corpse lay on the floor upright, and some had driven nails in their brains while they slept, and thus had slain them. Some put poison in their drinks. He spoke more harm that my heart could imagine. And therewithal he knew of more proverbs than grass or herbs in the world.
Better that you dwell with a lion or a foul dragon than a woman accustomed to scolding,
he said.
Better be high on the roof above than an angry wife down in the house. They have been so wicked and contrarious, they hate that their husbands love them,
he said.
A woman casts her shame away when she takes off her clothes.
And furthermore,
a fair woman, but she be chaste also, is like a gold ring in a wretch's nose.
Who would imagine, or who would suppose, the woe and distress in my heart? And when I say he would never cease to read this cursed book all night, suddenly I had plucked three pages out of this book, right as he read it. And also I punched him in the cheek with my fist, that he fell backwards onto our fire. And he shot up, as a furious lion does, and with his fist he hit me on the head, and I fell to the floor as if I were dead. And when he saw how still I lay, he was aghast, and he would have fled, had I not recovered consciousness at last. Oh, have you slain me, false thief, I said, and you murdered me for my land? Before I am dead, yet I would kiss thee. And he came near and kneeled graciously down and said,
dear sister Allison, so help me God, I shall never hit thee again. I've only myself to blame for what I have done. Forgive me, I beseech you.
And yet, a second time I hit him on the cheek and said, thief, I am much avenged. Now I will die. I may no longer speak. But in the end, with much sorrow and woe, we came to an agreement of our own. He gave me all the bridle in my hand, to have control of the house and the land, and of his tongue and of his hand also. I made him burn his book immediately right then. And when I had received by my skillfulness all the supremacy, he said,
my own true wife, do as you please for the rest of your life. Keep your honor and my social status.
After that day, we never fought again. So help me God, I was to him as kind as any wife from Denmark to India, and also true as he was to me. I pray to God who sits in majesty, so bless his soul for his dear mercy. Now I say my tale, if you will hear it.